This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 385. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also provided by the Sage Summit, which is happening in Chicago this month, July 25th to 28th at McCormick Place. It is the largest conference for small and medium businesses in the world, with speakers this year like Richard Branson, Gwyneth Paltrow, Zoe Deschanel, Ashton Kutcher, Damon John, Robert Herjavec, and yours truly. Well, on today's show, it's easy to talk about change. In fact, we talk about change all the time, but for change to actually happen is something quite different. One of our guests today will show us how to do it permanently in your company. Plus, data, it's everywhere, and few of us actually use it. On this hour's show, we're going to talk about why data actually is so important. It can be the secret sauce for your company. Well, of course, it's the weekend of July 4th, and what better thing to talk about than American politics? This year promised to be one of the most contested, talked about, and dare I say, violent presidential elections in the last 50 years. Politics is bound to creep into the workplace, which could have a disastrous result. As a small business owner, how do you handle it when it comes up? Here to discuss that is Rob Wilson. He's the president of Employco USA, an HR outsourcing firm that manages and administers human resources for its clients, therefore allowing them to concentrate on their core business. He co-founded Employco in 1996 and has grown it to over $275 million in revenue. Last year, Employco USA was recognized by Inc. magazine as one of the fastest-growing companies in America. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Barry.
So we'll do one about how you can prevent it not from wrecking the office, but we probably should talk about how it cannot wreck our holiday picnics on July 4th, right, talking about politics.
Right, exactly. It's a big topic these days for everybody in the workplace.
So what's the best policy? Is it just to say, hey, we're not going to talk politics in the workplace, or is that unrealistic?
Well, I think it's unrealistic. I think you should address, you know, people are going to talk about it, and there's been mentioned, too, by the NLRB that you can't really, is it illegal to ban political discussions at the workplace because it's free speech and it's protected, even in non-union environments.
So you're saying you have to have a policy on it, or you just let it be open season?
Well, you know, you want to control it to a certain extent. So it's good to, if you don't have a policy, it's good to think about having a policy of what you want to avoid heated issues, and I think it's a good thing to discuss ahead of time so that your managers can be prepared.
What should your policy be? Because I know for me, when I start talking about the present election, I mean, I just go off the deep end, right? I get so emotional because I think this particular election's probably one of the most important ones in American history. What should your policy look like? What are the do's and don'ts look like?
Well, you can wrap it in as well with your social media policy and your views within. Typically, you should try as a business, try not take sides, be neutral based, because it's such a contested and big discussion as far as this particular election. But you should be proactive in the sense that let people discuss it, but watch the heated nature of it. Try and get people to play as nice as possible and try and avoid heated issues.
Well, and so what happens when that heated issue comes up? You know, there's a big five-letter word, you know, named Trump, and every single time you mention his name, it gets heated one way or the other. So what do you do when people start shouting at each other?
Right, and so what we typically would recommend is let the people know, let's table this discussion. You know, everybody has their own opinion. Let's table it for now. And then your manager or HR team should get together with the person that's the more heated or aggressive person and let them know that, look, we know you're passionate about this, but you have to be respectful of other people's views because it can be construed as harassment, especially if you're being overly aggressive to somebody.
So, but how does that balance with what the I think it's the NLRA says that you can't really limit political discussions in the workplace.
Right. But you can limit or correct the tone of it.
Okay. So talk more about that.
So, in the, you know, with heated discussions, especially, you know, and Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump cannot be further apart, and both sides are so passionate about it that if you have someone being overly aggressive, whether it's politics or any other type of behavior, you have to be concerned about what's construed as harassment. So it's counseling that person that is the aggressor in it and letting them know that it's they're being too aggressive and that they need to correct their tone down their tone, because it's you can have harassment issues.
We're talking with Rob Wilson, who's the president of EmployCo USA. Rob, so you also talked about how this could possibly integrate with your social media policy, because then you could have people talking politics on social media as well. Because I know, for example, every presidential season, I lose a lot of followers or gain some followers on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Right. Absolutely. So your social media, and there was someone recently at another firm, they were saying some pretty heated political issues on Twitter when they were actually terminated from their employment, because they're so you have to advise your employees, like on any social media basis, that their views are their own views. They're not the views of the corporation.
So what happens if you're a small business owner and let's say you're really in favor of, you know, Hillary Clinton and really, really anti-Donald Trump, and you want to let your people know, or you have a fundraiser at your office? How should you handle that?
It becomes a touchy situation, that especially, you know, we all have views, but as an owner of a business, you want to try and be as neutral as possible and avoid taking a side. But you see plenty of examples where a business, you know, a business owner or someone will hold a fundraiser. You're playing into the middle of it at that point. Typically, we would recommend that you want to be as neutral as possible.
Yeah, and you got to be careful, because you don't want to coerce your employees into one view or the other, or even to donate money to one campaign or the other. That's also a no-no, right?
Right, exactly, because then you've got you're going to upset the other side, and probably more this electoral season than any other one previously. You've never seen such a heated discussion and really anywhere you look, and it's only going to get worse between now and November.
There's no question. And so how do you really think that this election is going to affect small businesses?
Well, it's going to go one of two ways. You've got some big issues. You've got healthcare on the table. I think you're so entrenched in the Affordable Care Act, Republicans say all day long they want to appeal it. But
what are you going to do with all the people that are already on it, right?
Exactly. But then at the same time, you look at these rate increases, Blue Cross, mm-hmm. Blue Shield in Texas just requested a 60% rate increase. So you've got a big issue on health care. The other issue is taxes and welfare.
And so do you think that some small business owners, Rob, are kind of like pausing or waiting to grow their business to see what happens in the election?
Absolutely. We've definitely in the last 60 to 75 days have seen a slowdown in hiring. And it was very apparent last month in the jobs report.
And so do you think that's going to hurt the economy as we're moving towards the fall?
You know, I think it will. Typically, people are, if you look at the last election cycles, there's usually a little bit of a slowdown, businesses looking to see what's going to happen. But you've got several impacts. You've got the new overtime law that's in effect, that's going to be in effect in December. So you've got companies adjusting to that. And I think you'll see the economy slow down a bit, continue to slow down until the election.
All right. And so would you hazard a guess about who's going to win?
You know, too close to
call.
And it seems to be changing every day. But, you know, the latest polls, it's neck and neck.
Yeah, it could be close to call. Do you think that the next president, if it's Donald Trump, will roll back some of the things that Obama has done as far as small business goes?
I think he will. I think he has a better understanding from a business standpoint. You know, when you look at past seasons of economic increases, 80% of new jobs come from small businesses. So small businesses are really the engine of the economy. So I think he realizes that. Where President Obama has not really been a friend at all to small businesses.
Well, we're not quite sure what Donald Trump will do on any given day, so who knows?
You never know.
Well, Rob, where can people get in touch with you if they want more information, perhaps about how they should put a policy in place, which I definitely think that every small business should have going into the fall because it's going to be a rough ride.
Absolutely. Our website is employco.com, and you can reach me at robwilson@employco.com.
Rob, appreciate you coming back and being on the show, and enjoy your July 4th.
Thanks. You too, Barry. Thanks a lot.
Coming up next, it's easy to talk about change. In fact, we talk about change all the time. But for change to actually happen in your company is something totally different. Coming up, we're going to talk to an expert on how you can affect real change in your organization in the coming months. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your roadways. Traveling in or out on the Edens, wide open. The Kennedy's trouble-free, too. A 20-minute trek into and out of the airport from downtown. No complaints on the Eisenhower or on the Stevenson. The Dan Ryan I-57 Bishop Ford 394, also known as the Calumet Expressway, are all wide open at this point. In Lyle, Short Street is closed east and west between Ohio Court and Route 53, and that's for the Skies to the Eyes Festival. On the north side, it's the Windy City Rib Fest. Broadway closed both north and south between Wilson and Lawrence Avenue. Our tollway system looks great. Lakeshore Drive is wide open, and so is the Chicago Skyway. Partly cloudy with breaks of sunshine today. Maybe a shower in the southern suburbs, high 77. 65 currently. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Is your business stuck in a rut?
Wish you had the tools and know-how to unlock its full potential?
Head to Sage Summit, July 25th through 28th in Chicago for the tools, training, and connections that will help you get your business marching forward. Hear from visionary speakers like Sir Richard Branson, Gwyneth Paltrow, and the stars of ABC's Shark Tank. Sign up for mentoring with business leaders and industry experts. Register at sagesummit.com by July 15th for only $99 with promo code GETUNSTUCK. That's sagesummit.com. Get Unstuck. See you there.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
The U.S. Senior and Women's Open, the BMW Championship, the Chicago Half Marathon, NASCAR Racing, the Blackhawks Parade, so many festivals and special events, and they all have one thing in common, Master Fence Rental. Master Fence Rental provides professional fence rental services throughout all phases of your construction project, special event, or emergency situation, along with prompt delivery and expert installation. These are the guys to call when you need to maintain temporary safety and security at your site. Master Fence Rental is ready right now for your next big event or building project with chain link fences, fence panels, and pedestrian barricades that are uniquely designed and built to be sturdy, safe, and attractive with easy installation and takedown. Event planners, show producers, contractors, request a free quote today and get ready to work with the temporary fence pros. Master Fence. Call 866-622-0822. 866-622-0822. Or online. MasterFenceRental.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, so let's face it. Lots of us are messed up. I mean, truly messed up about our relationship with money. I don't mean just making it. I don't mean just how we spend it. It's the value that we place on it as the only goal. And millennials actually share an especially hard time with this. Here to help is Amanda Abella. She's a millennial financial expert and the Amazon best-selling author of a book, which I love this title, Make Money Your Honey. Through her writing and coaching, she teaches millennials how they can have a better relationship with work and money. Amanda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, I want to make money, my honey. Where do I start?
Well, the first place to start, and this is basically where everyone should start, not just millennials, is figure out what those beliefs are about money that perhaps you've been carrying, honestly, all the way since childhood. I have clients who are not millennials. I have clients who are, you know, twice my age sometimes that I coach them through this process. And I call it money mindset coaching. And sometimes we can trace some things back all the way until they were 6 or 7 years old. Yeah. What they learned about money and how it's still affecting them in their lives and their businesses today.
Now, this is such a truth, Amanda, because I have to tell you that the way that I deal with money has so affected about me being a little boy in my bedroom and my parents arguing about that there wasn't enough money. And I would stay awake at night thinking, how can I make money for my family? And I'm 8 years old. How can I make money for my family so that my parents won't argue? And that's when I started a paper route. Didn't make much of a dent, but you're absolutely right. It's effective when we're kids.
Yeah, I actually had a client recently, and she had kind of a similar situation as you. What she learned was that in order for her family to stop arguing about things, that she would somehow have to take the fall and sacrifice herself, even though maybe perhaps her brothers may have done something. And the way that's being translated into her business is that she's putting herself on the back burner, and she's not asking for the kind of money that she thinks she should be making because she's afraid that it's going to start conflict, which is what she saw as a child.
So I guess, Amanda, what are some healthy views on money? And then if I have unhealthy views that are holding you back, how do I make that change?
Well, first of all, some healthy views. It's basically just a matter of identifying what those views are and identifying how you're behaving in accordance to those views and then consciously starting to change it. I think for a lot of people, just awareness goes a really long way. We're constantly being affected by different messages about money. And as soon as we kind of start paying attention and we realize, wait a second, that might be someone's negative money story, like they may be broke. I hear this a lot, actually, like everyone around me is broke, right? Well, that's their story. That's not your story. So it's up to you to kind of just take care of your side of the street. And I've realized that once people kind of notice that and they realize that that's all they have control over is what they think, feel, and believe about money. And once they realize that many times they're just being affected by other people's views of money, they kind of naturally start to make those changes.
And this is hard because we're constantly bombarded in our society, which that, you know, money is good, having money is good, and being poor is bad, right? People that are rich are smart, they can sing, right? And they're even good looking. So we're constantly getting these kinds of message that the person that dies with the most money wins. So it's hard to shape your own view of what money means to you.
Yeah, and it's not even that. I think a lot of it is also marketing. We're also getting messages to constantly spend our money because it's a keeping up with the Joneses type thing. Money equals success. Money equals power. We're constantly getting bombarded with those things. So one exercise that I really recommend for people is to kind of figure out what it is that you truly value and what's important to you and basically create your budget based on that. If you can figure out what matters to you, it's a whole lot easier to save for the things you care about or the things that you want to do. And it's also a lot easier that when you do go spend some money, some people feel guilty when they do it because they actually have the opposite problem. And when you do go spend it on, if it's something that really truly matters to you and you have the money to do it, then the guilt is gone.
As we're talking with Amanda Abella. She's got a great book out. It's called Make Money Your Honey. And so you say in the book that starting a company is really one of the best things you can do your finances, but sometimes I see it just the opposite. It could be one of the worst things you do for your finances.
Well, I mean, I say that from the sense that, you know, when you're investing, starting a company is basically investing. It's just a different form of investing. And those of people who want financial freedom, one of the cool things about my work, especially when it comes to writing my columns and writing for clients and creating content, is that I get to interview some pretty freaking smart people when it comes to money. And most of them agree that in a lot of cases, starting a business is one of the best things that you can do because you have more control. The problem that you run into, unfortunately, especially in this day and age where entrepreneurship has become sexy, is that a lot of people don't know what they're getting themselves into.
Absolutely. They haven't read my book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Running Your Own Business. So you're talking about how you put together what your values are around money, and then you put together a budget that fits that. What else should you be doing?
I think another thing that you should be doing is perhaps you should put some practices in place to kind of help you mentally. I think a lot of people don't realize how psychological the conversation of money really is. A lot of people, it's like you either have it or you don't. It's something that comes in and out of my life. It's something that controls me. I don't have control over it. And really, when it comes to money, when it comes to making, spending, saving, investing, a lot of it is just having a serious mental game, you know, and being on top of that. So some of the things that I recommend for people so that they don't get swayed by marketing, you know, buying things they don't want to buy, or so that they actually save without feeling like it's a deprivation, or so that they don't fall victim to peer pressure of what they should be doing with their money. That's another really big one that I hear often, is to create these little practices. And, you know, a lot of my clients, for example, they do a lot of meditation. That alone helps them kind of get very clear on what it is that they want and they want to do, and also release some of the stuff that they may be affected by. You know, it kind of helps them calm the mind. Other things, I have other clients who, you know, they go for a run. I've heard this one. They go for a run, and when the run starts getting hard, then they start saying positive money affirmations, right. And it kind of helps them do two things. Number one, they finish their run even when it starts to suck, right? But number two, they're kind of mentally training themselves, like, it's okay. Even though you're having this challenge, you're going to be fine. So those are a couple of things. It's just kind of figure out what those practices are for you that kind of keep you mentally and spiritually sane when it comes to dealing with your finances. Another one I talk about a lot is going on a date with your budget. It's literally closing the door, hanging up a do not disturb sign, lighting candles, playing music, whatever it is that you need to do in order to be able to relax, right, when you are looking at your finances and doing your banking. Because for some people, they're so afraid of the numbers that they don't even want to look.
And I think that's really the key issue. You have a lot of small business owners that are afraid of the numbers, or they think they know them intrinsically and they really don't, so they avoid it. And you can't avoid it. You got to know what the numbers are, and then you got to deal with them positively or negatively.
Yeah, and I think another big thing is just taking responsibility. Sometimes you got to take a pill. You know, you got to take your big boy pill or put on your big girl panties. You know, you just got to do it. And that's a big part of being a business owner, is just being okay with taking that responsibility. So if you find yourself, and this happens a lot when you're talking about money, if you find yourself blaming other people, blaming the government, blaming corporations, it doesn't mean that obviously there aren't things that need to be fixed. It just means that if you're expecting someone or something to fix it for you, you're going to be waiting a really long time.
A really long time. Now, in this world of entrepreneurship, in this world of really the freelance economy, where you never really know what next month's money that's going to come into your business or your life is going to be, that adds a new level of difficulty, doesn't it?
Yeah, in some ways, but it also adds levels of freedom. When you ask a lot of entrepreneurs or people who are freelancing, actually, I think it was MSN around this time last year, they released basically an article that said the 9-to-5 job is dying because people are willingly going into freelance and contractor jobs. It's no longer something that people would do when they couldn't find a job. Now they're quitting on purpose to actually go pursue this. And when you ask a lot of people, especially the millennial generation, but it's true for other generations as well, when you ask them, why'd you do it? They're like, because I want freedom.
Certainly, there's a lot more freedom, but with all the freedom comes new responsibility. I think Spider-Man said that. I wasn't sure. Amanda, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And if you want to reach Amanda, it's www.amandaabella.com. Amanda, spelled the typical way, Abella, ABELLA.com. The book is called Make Money Your Honey. Coming up next, how your business can take advantage of the new on-demand workforce that is now so popular. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Most of America is just straight-up car stupid.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
You fleece your car, acting like when you rented your car, you did a good deal. Give me a break. And the stupid thing loses 60 to 70% of its value when you buy a new one in the first 4 years that you drive it. So you turn $30,000 into $11,000 and then scratch your head and wonder why you can't get ahead financially. This is not hard to think about, people.
Dave Ramsey. Weeknights starting at 7. Presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. Two car bombs in Baghdad kill at least 83 and injure 160. ISIS claiming responsibility for one of the deadliest attacks in Iraq this year. The FBI may be nearing the end of its investigation into Hillary Clinton's private email server. She met with the Bureau for 3.5 hours yesterday. Meantime, some Republicans question the veracity of the probe.
The RNC is launching a scathing attack on the credibility of the FBI's investigation after Attorney General Loretta Lynch privately met with President Bill Clinton on her plane. The meeting sparking widespread criticism, given that Lynch is the head of the Justice Department, which is leading the investigation against Mrs. Clinton.
Fox's Brian Yenis. And a massive brush fire is burning in Hawaii. The fire on the island of Maui, consuming 6,000 acres, threatening homes, and causing power outages. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your traffic. In Grant Park, Congress Parkway closed east and west between Congress Plaza and Columbus Drive. In addition, Jackson closed east and west between Michigan Avenue and Lakeshore Drive. And Columbus closed north and south between Monroe and Roosevelt. All of this for the Taste of Chicago, which kicks off this Wednesday, July 6th, and runs through Sunday, July 10th. Expressways and tollways, nice and quiet all the way across the board. Now, this report is brought to you by Santa's Village Amusement Park.
The Snowball Ride is back at Santa's Village Amusement Park. Treat your kids to the awesome ride that you remember. And always enjoy the petting zoos, rides, attractions, and so much more. Open daily for family fun. Visit santasvillagedundee.com.
Partly cloudy with breaks of sunshine, maybe a shower in the southern suburbs, high 77. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-9999 0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack? when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price. And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 6868 at checkout. That's Harry's.com. Code 6868.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, you know, it's real easy to talk about change. In fact, we all talk about change all the time. But for change to actually happen is something quite different. To help understand why and how to affect real change is Chris Laping, who brings more than 25 years of information technology and business transformation experience to his book on change leadership. It's called People Before Things. Chris was the Senior Vice President of Business Transformation, Chief Information Officer at Red Robin Gourmet Burgers, where he was part of the management team that completed a successful turnaround from an $8 stock price to $89. Chris has received several awards for his work in the IT industry, including being named as Computer World Premier 100 IT Leader and The Economist Top 5 Social Business Leaders. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry. Wow, that was a mighty introduction.
That was a great introduction. So we got great expectations for this interview. It's really going to change the world. So why are people so interested in change, but then so many of us really don't do anything about it? We're just paying lip service.
Well, I think people are interested in how to get people to change, right? And we're always interested in how to get others to change. And I think ultimately what makes change so challenging is it's not an exercise meant to coerce other people into doing what we want them to do. And instead, I think change is something that leaders, you know, have to inspire. So if I give you an example, let's say we're rolling out a brand new technology to all our team members. Most leaders think that if they just communicate and provide training, that all the team members will magically do what we want them to do. And, they don't do what we want them to do. So we roll out more communications and training. And it's like the beatings will continue until
that's right, exactly.
Improves.
That's right. We'll threaten them until they do it. Yeah, and I think what you talk about in the book is the why around change leadership is really important, because for people to actually do change, they have to understand the why. They have to have the belief, right?
Yeah, the why is really important. And I think about some really big thinkers like Simon Sinek and his book Start with the Why. I think about Pat Lencioni and his book The Advantage, where he's asking the question, why do we exist? This thing, you know, around the why is connected to people feeling like they're making a difference at work every day. And, you know, I think by the very nature of going to business school, we learn about goals and vision and strategy. And those things tend to focus on what we're going to do. And when we start to try to motivate team members and we talk about what we're going to do, we're really just motivating them to, you know, do something on a task list. And at the end of the day, you know, people go to work every day. They want to make a difference. They want to know that they're helping their organizations move forward. And so engaging them in the why, connecting people to purpose, can be, you know, I think a really powerful motivator to ultimately achieve the success and the outcomes we're looking to achieve.
So, Chris, what you're talking about is if you can't really convince your staff on the why, if they don't share the belief, there's no use actually going to the tactical stuff of making a change.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it, the source of every change or innovation we want to put into place, it starts with some opportunity that we want to seize or a pain that we're trying to alleviate in an organization. And I think just connecting team members directly to that is a much more powerful filter for their everyday work. You know, as an example, a lot of leaders will say that, hey, our goal is to increase sales. And, you know, when we all get out of bed and we go to work in the morning, it's not like we needed someone to tell us
that,
you know, we need to increase sales. So by simply declaring that we're going to increase sales, it doesn't get people, on board with some mission. It doesn't motivate them, and it doesn't inspire them. They don't need us to tell them that we're trying to increase sales. And the way I think about this with the why and making sure you're sharing a powerful why is if the opposite of your strategy isn't a strategy, then you probably don't have a strategy. So there's probably no leaders out there in the world telling their teams that, hey, our goal is to decrease sales today. So we have to do more than that. We really do have to connect them with the power of the purpose.
So what's a good example with what is the power of purpose? If it's not sales, what kind of whys do staff members and team members buy into?
Well, let me give you a Red Robin example. Red Robin definitely hit an air pocket in 2008, 2009, as a lot of other brands did in the economy. And, the natural answer to growth was increasing sales. And if we went into the organization and told our department heads and leaders, hey, we want to increase sales, and we didn't provide any more clarity than that, then they would have all come back with about 60 to 70 different strategies for increasing sales, and it just doesn't create any type of priority or focus or discipline. But connecting in a purpose in this example is that when we did the market research, what we found is that families were being tremendously hurt by all the price increases on the Red Robin menu, and that a family of four, a family of five was spending $55 or $60 to go out and ultimately share a burger with each other. And, by going back and talking to our teams about the power of, families and what they meant to the brand and the fact that the brand built itself on the shoulders of all these families, that they were really being hurt in the bad economy, that these price increases were hurting them, it got people a lot more focused about sales. Sales was no longer an exercise of, hey, let's just increase the prices on our menu, thus increasing sales.
Chris, I got to cut you off there. If you want to reach Chris, go to www.peoplebeforethings.co. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Guardian Security Services Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBanges with a look at your roadways on Chicago's Lower West Side on 23rd Place between Levitt and Hoyne. There's a fully engulfed garage fire and subsequent downed wires. Firefighters are on the scene. Steer clear if you can. Expressways and tollways moving along really well. Eden's 19 minutes between Lakewood Road and the junction. The Kennedy, a 20-minute trek into and out of the airport. Now, if you're traveling east on the O'Hare Extension, keep in mind, roadwork closes the exit ramp to northbound Mannheim through December of next year. Eisenhower looks good. Stevenson is a smooth sail. Dan Ryan, I-57, Bishop Ford, Calumet Expressway, which is 394, all trouble-free. Tollways look good. And actually, so does Lakeshore Drive, north and south. That's wide open. Partly cloudy with breaks of sunshine today. Maybe a shower in the southern suburbs. High 77. Currently 65. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
I remember when my sons and I used to watch Aladdin, which, of course, is set in a desert. And there's a great line by the genie, which is played by Robin Williams, where he says, "Sand, get used to it. It's everywhere." Well, in small business, we could say, "Data, get used to it. It's everywhere." There's tons of data around our small business, but none of us are ever using it. Here to help is Howard Tolman. He's the CEO of 1871, has the most comprehensive Pez collection in the entire world. Howard, welcome to the show.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks, Barry.
So, Howard, what's your favorite part of your Pez collection?
I think my favorite part is the part that I actually never get to really see. So there's an old Neil Young song about the problem with collectors who, if they take things out of the package, it diminishes their value. So they have to sit and sort of stare at the stuff, but they can't really play with it or anything. So the earliest Pez were actually in these old, cheap cardboard boxes, which, you know, this was before there was cellophane and plastic. So I'm taking a lot of people's word for it that inside of those are some of the oldest Pez from the 1940s, but we only x-rayed about half of them.
That's funny.
So that's the most peculiar part
funny.
Of the collection.
So when I hear you speak a lot, you say that data is the oil of the digital age. What does that mean?
Well, to me, data is the most powerful new resource that every company is going to have to incorporate into their competitive model, into the way they run their businesses. And so I think it's that valuable. I think that oil is, as we know, oil is diminishing because of alternatives, but there's really no alternative to data. And actually, data is only half the story. It's turning the data into useful information that's really the name of the game.
And I think that's really the problem, because we know that customers are producing data all the time. We're producing data on organizations, but most small businesses don't know how to tap into it. Where do you start?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, I think that one of the great, exciting things is that because everybody's walking around tethered now to a phone, I think it's fair to say that we finally are starting to level the playing field between the online guys who for about the last 10 years really had it going their way as compared to bricks and mortar, because they knew who you were when you came to their website, or they could find out pretty easily. But when somebody used to walk into a bricks and mortar store, we had no idea who they were. Today, you know, basically if you are running your business well, and if you have beacons, and if you have some of the new technologies that are available, you can identify the customers. You can see whether they're frequent shoppers. You can see and customize information for them. So we're really in a position now where we can tell as much about the customers in the bricks and mortar context as we can online.
And so where should small business owners start, Howard, to actually do that? Because a lot of folks don't seem to be using any tools to do the analysis. What do you suggest?
You know, the best single thing I would suggest to a small business today is Ritual, R-I-T-U-A-L. Now, Ritual today is in the business of simply letting any small food purveyor go have an online solution similar to Starbucks. In other words, that you can use Ritual, you can list yourself on Ritual, and anybody with a phone can pre-order. We call this click and collect, and then come in and get their food without you having to build all that technology. Now, that's the case for food, but the future is that's going to be the case for everything. Something like 60% of all e-commerce now is basically I order online, but then I go to the store and pick it up. And in order to be competitive, small businesses are going to have to make their transactions just that available and just that frictionless. And they're going to have to make them mobile as well. And all of that is now relatively easy to accomplish.
Now, I've also heard you say that network today is more important than audience. I like how it sounds, but I'm not quite sure what that means for a small business.
Well, network used to mean, I mean, in the basically in the old days, TV was measured by audience size, and that was sort of a one-to-many world. And it was, you know, we would say, well, geez, nighttime TV has tonight, if you watch the news, about 23 million people will watch the TV news with you at 10 o'clock tonight. But at the same time, every single day, 1.4 billion people are on Facebook. So the multiplier effect of word of mouth, the multiplier effect of your network is far more valuable than simply audience. And so a small business needs to understand, and you know this as well, the lifetime value of that relationship. How do I reinforce it? How do I bring you back? How do I keep connected to you? And so it's really important for small businesses to build loyal and influential networks of people that can influence and build their clientele. Because if you're not in my face, if you're not there when I'm ready to buy, someone else will be.
Absolutely. And one of the ways to increase your network, Howard, we all know that coming up July 25th to 28th is the Sage Summit at McCormick Place. And I know you're one of the participants in that.
Yeah, we're excited about Sage. I mean, we're excited for a lot of reasons. It's going to be a great couple of days of information and a great couple of days of everything from concerts to special events and things like that. But it's also a very powerful opportunity to be exposed to new tools. And again, you know, I like something you always say, which is, you know, if you can't be found, you won't be chosen.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, it's incumbent upon people, small businesses especially, to get out there and see what's new. And they don't do this enough. They don't expose themselves to opportunities. And sometimes, you know, it's lateral. Sometimes it's you see it and it's somebody who's using it in a different field
Absolutely.
Than yours. And it inspires you to think about what could you be doing similarly in your area. You know, nobody's going to deliver a perfect solution for your business all wrapped up in a bow every single day.
Absolutely.
But they are going to directionally point you in the right place to improve your connection to your customers.
All right, Howard, thanks so much for being on the show. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Is your business stuck in a rut?
Wish you had the tools and know-how to unlock its full potential?
Head to Sage Summit July 25th through 28th in Chicago for the tools, training, and connections that will help you get your business marching forward. Hear from visionary speakers like Sir Richard Branson, Gwyneth Paltrow, and the stars of ABC's Shark Tank. Sign up for mentoring with business leaders and industry experts. Register at sagesummit.com by July 15th for only $99 with promo code GETUNSTUCK. That's sagesummit.com. Get unstuck. See you there.
The biggest trap business owners face is that they are continually flip-flopping their time between working for customers and selling to find new business. As a result, when you are doing the work, the sales activity slows to a crawl. This double helix trap keeps businesses struggling for years.
Years.
Learn the 7 strategies for breaking this trap. Contact Barry at barry@barrymoltz.com.
Did you know 40% of all cancer could be prevented? That's a fact. Along with maintaining appropriate body weight and regular exercise, the American Institute for Cancer Research and the USDA confirm that eating 9 to 11 servings of fruits and vegetables every day is the key. Now ask yourself, am I at risk? How many servings of fruits and vegetables did I eat today? Balance of Nature has solved this problem and provides an easy and affordable way to consume over 10 servings of 31 different whole fruits and vegetables every day.
Call now to find out how to get your free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Call now, 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code Chicago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
A lot of times that I wonder how much of being successful in small business has to do with looking inside yourself towards your own tuition rather than looking outside to your customers or your advisors. Here to talk about that is Kaya Singer, who is a wise woman entrepreneur, mentor, artist, and author who has a mission to help visionary women wake up, stop hiding, invest in themselves, and be who they are meant to be in this world. Kaya, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. It's lovely to be here.
I find that a lot of people, it's a lot easier to look outside yourself than look inside. Why is it so hard?
You know, I'm not really sure, but I think that we have a tendency to go into our heads a lot. But I think for women who I met, you know, I help and mentor, and certainly my book, Wiser and Wilder, is written primarily focusing on women entrepreneurs. Women definitely focus on the inner first, our feelings, our emotions. And I talk to people about connecting with their wise woman within, and she's somebody that's with you all the time, 24/7. It's an intuition, really, and you just have to listen to it.
So you should trust your intuition? Because a lot of people say that your intuition without facts or research really can get you in trouble.
Well, that could be true, but I believe listening to intuition first is really important, and then you can back it up with doing more research. But for me, the intuition is usually spot on every time, and I feel an alignment in my body, in my soul, in my spirit. And the women I work with, I try to help them to trust that part, because it can cause a lot of stress staying in your head, and people get overwhelmed. Whereas your intuition, as you're developing it, is very clear. It doesn't mean you can't go further and do the research, of course.
Now, you also talk about in the book that you should be wildly visible. What does that mean?
Aha, yeah. That means standing in a place that only you can stand. That is your authentic self. It's your people want to connect these days, especially with so much stuff going on the internet, and our airwaves are so full. People really want to connect with you as a person. They want to see who you really are. So being wildly visible means, you know, sharing yourself, being intimate, being authentic, and that will allow people to connect with you. I really believe strongly in that. I think people are very sensitive now to hype and to a lot of marketing message that they just hear over and over again. But when people are real and they express themselves from that real place, people connect with them.
You know, it's interesting, because I think one of the great things about the internet is you can really connect to anyone anywhere in the world, and there is someone like you. Seth Godin always talks about that, you know, you got to be with your tribe. And there are people out there that are exactly like you if you're honest with yourself.
That's exactly right, and that's one of the other advantages of being honest and being genuine like that. Because in order to build a really strong business, and especially the women I work with are more visionary entrepreneurs, they start their business from something they're passionate about. They need to find their tribe, a circle of people, and people will find them if they're really honest and genuine. People are attracted to you.
Kaya,
that way.
I appreciate you being on the show. If you want to get in touch with Kaya, you can go to www.awakeningbusiness.com. Kaya, thanks again.
Thank you so much, Barry. Lovely being here.
Thanks again for being on the radio show, Kaya, and thanks for joining us. I want to thank our sponsors, Sage Summit, Nextiva. I also want to thank our staff, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, and our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being more successful in 2016, then you got to give me a call so I can help you get your business unstuck. My number is 773-837-8250, or you can email me at barry@moltz.com. Isn't this the year that you get your small business going and finally make the money you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Tomorrow's July 4th. Go out there and celebrate, but have a safe July 4th holiday. Talk to you next week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Hey, sorry I'm late.